Father, we just praise you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. When words aren't enough, God will give you words. If he sees you have it in your heart to praise him and to worship him. Amen. Paul said, I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. I'll pray with the Spirit. When a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he doesn't speak unto people. He speaks unto God. So those tongues that came on the day of Pentecost that people understood were not the tongues that Paul was addressing that is direct between us and God. What a wonderful God that we serve tonight. I'm glad I can express things in my heart that go beyond my verbal ability to articulate. Amen. Hallelujah. What happens when you can't put it into words? The Bible said, whom having not seen ye love, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a lot better than that old religious brand of love that just says, you know, thou shalt love God, so show up at church and give and go home and forget about it. No, this is a walk with God. This is a talk with God. This is a relationship with God. This is intimacy with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, just thought I'd run that by you. Thank you for singing. We could sing all night, but we started 30 minutes late because all the singers and sound people were stuck on the interstate because of a wreck. We're glad that you came through all of that tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to move quickly into God's Word this evening. Thank you for coming. Our visitors, we thank you for coming tonight. Old friends from long ago in a galaxy far, far away in a time long, long ago. It's been that long for some of us here tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm creeping up in age. I believe I can say with David something I couldn't say, but I think now that I'm 62, I can say it. I was young, and I hate to admit this, but AARP says I've arrived. So in my subscription, so I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous, and these folks got appointments. They've got to run. Thank you for coming and singing and rushing and going. Thank you so much tonight. Amen. I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God's promise to provide for his people is an ironclad promise. Has nothing to do with the immediate circumstances, economically, circumstantially around our life. It's something that he promises. Even when he promises to bless our giving, he says, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough for you to contain it. Now, that's not just the windows of the heaven that sits up in the sky on some planet out there somewhere. He's talking about sending rains in their season. He's talking about blessing us in a way, in a practical, personal way. He's supernaturally causing that rain to come, and the right kind of rain, not the kind that washes away the topsoil, but those deep rains that go in and get into the root system so that people had bumper crops. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said when there's no rain, when the ark was in its proper place in the temple and they were going through a drought, when there is no rain, you're to go before God, make your prayer toward this place, and God will send the rains upon you in their due season. He promised as far as spiritually, in the book of Joel, he took that same concept and said, I will send you the former and the latter rain in one season. Amen. To do something that only God can do, and that's make up for lost years in our life. Amen. We're told to redeem the time, to buy up the time, make up for lost time because the days are evil. And the Bible said that he would restore unto us the years that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and locust have eaten. Some night we'll try to do a study on these various stages of the growth of the full-grown locust or grasshopper. We don't know much in our culture about the devastation that they can bring, but there are cultures still in our world today that know something of those kind of plagues on crops. They can absolutely devastate and create a famine in a whole nation that is agriculturally driven. And in those days, agriculture was the primary means other than raising sheep or cattle. Agriculture, grain, was the main ingredient in their economies. And if that was interrupted, then you're going to have a devastating economic collapse in that nation. And God said, I am able to restore years. And the wonderful thing about it is, he doesn't take years to restore years. Isn't that wonderful about the Lord? In other words, if we've lost all these years, you don't have to have a whole bunch of years to make up for it. God said, I can do it in a season, because I can send you the former and the latter rain in one season and restore unto you what years of devastation has done in your life. That's why we have those mighty scriptures that said, I will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and thou shalt be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Not only am I going to bless you from nothingness and total devastation to such a place of blessedness, but I'm going to establish you from that point. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what I love about the Lord, is that He establishes us after He blesses us. Praise God. Otherwise, you get into that seesaw situation where you're blessed and you're knocked back, and you're blessed and brought forward, you're knocked back. God said, once I bless you, I want to establish you. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, that was all a bonus. It didn't cost you anything for that. I threw that in for free. Now you're going to get what you paid for. And since we haven't received the offering, this is a freebie tonight. No, the offering trays are here as you leave. We receive it on Sunday morning and Sunday night. The offering trays are right there. And we trust the Lord that you will give as God has blessed you if you didn't have the opportunity as yet. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, we're still talking about intimacy with God. We're going to talk about this for a while because we're living in a generation where people are looking for ministers to dispense blessings through their anointings. And we seem satisfied with the dispense blessings because of the anointings. And biblically, God never intended blessings to just be dispensed without a walk with Him that is the way He wants it to be. God wants intimacy with His children. He doesn't just want you blessed. He wants to captivate and capture your heart in the process. Amen. I love the story as we get ready to read this. Maybe we better read it first, because I have been known to get going and not get the text out. Let's get the text out. And let's frame it this time in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto fellowship of His Son, unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it's important to understand, God didn't save you just to get you to heaven, and God didn't save you just to keep you from hell. The Bible is very clear that God saved you for fellowship. God saved you for intimacy. God wants a relationship with you and with me. And all the rest of that is a byproduct. Escaping hell and obtaining heaven are byproducts of the relationship that He wants restored. Amen? When sin entered the world, that relationship was interrupted. And by the way, it wasn't God that ran from man when he failed. It was man who ran and hid himself from God. Make no mistake about it. God knows everything about you. And don't ask me why. I'll never be able to figure this out. A God who knows everything about you and everything. And when I say everything, Jesus put it this way, because He wanted you to know that God is not sitting aloof in His heaven. Amen. Totally distanced from you. And somehow you've got to reach Him. That's what's unique about Christianity of all the world religions. Every, without exception, world religion is man trying to find his way to God, or a way to God. Christianity is the only religion in the mix of world religions, amen, where God is taking the initiative and searching for man. In every other world religion, people are trying to climb up to God some way. But in Christianity, God comes down to man. He condescends, He comes down. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God came down. His name was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He wasn't just a good man. Amen. He was God with us. God incarnate in flesh. Amen. It's one of the cardinal truths of the Christian faith. You take that out, it's a pseudo-Christianity. It's not the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And Jesus isn't the Messiah. He isn't the Savior, and His blood isn't pure enough to save, no matter how many times He would have died on the cross. It took pure sinless blood, and no man could offer pure sinless blood. The only one that could offer pure sinless blood was when God took on flesh. And the Bible said in the New Testament, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It's all about intimacy, reconciling the world unto Himself. Can you say amen? Everybody say, reconciling the world unto Himself. That is what the Christian faith is all about. I'm glad to be a preacher, a proclaimer of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. That God came down. And he came seeking to save that which was lost. Jesus would go into areas where he was totally rejected. The most anointed preacher in the world. Totally rejected. The disciples felt that rejection. They felt the sting of it. And they wanted God to get them for that. And they said, why don't you call fire down out of heaven? You've got all of this power and authority. They don't want you. They've blasphemed your name. They've shoved you away. They've totally rejected you. Why don't you call fire down out of heaven and destroy them? And Jesus turned to them and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but I came to seek and to save. Everybody say, to seek and to save. To seek and to save that which was lost. That's what I love about Jesus. Amen. He takes the initiative. In fact, he said, no man comes to me except my Father draw them. Can you say amen? Again, God takes the initiative. That means you can't just make an intellectual decision to become a Christian. And that's why we don't just preach trying to affect the intellect. Amen. The Bible said in the New Testament, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Why do we need the Holy Ghost so bad when we minister the Word of God? Because God draws people to Christ. I remember going and ministering in Haiti when we went back in Pion. And I had preached before in other places where I didn't need an interpreter. But in Haiti, it's French Creole is the predominant language there. The dominant language there, actually. And I didn't know French Creole. And so we ended up back in the boondocks. We went through riverbeds. We could only go back at one time of the year because when the rains come in like we're getting right now, the riverbeds would fill up. And you can't cross the riverbeds in the trucks. And here we are in this bus-like truck thing. I don't know what you would call it. It's kind of a combination bus truck situation, sitting high off the ground to get through the riverbeds. Now they got the big trucks to go to the golf course. Can you say amen? I don't know. I guess they're afraid they're going to hit a big puddle, you know, and they got a Land Rover to go play golf in. I've never seen a golf course that inaccessible, but different strokes for different folks. Amen. More of a status symbol than a necessity. But we needed stuff like that. We didn't have land. We had this old raggedy thing. And all of us ministers were in the back of that thing. Dust was getting all over us. And you're going through riverbeds. And after a while, you leave telephone poles and light poles. And after a while, you leave gas stations. And you better have you some gas along the way. And after a while, you go through not a beautiful jungle greenery, but you go through like Jamaica was. But you go through kind of a desert, arid looking nothing place. And then you get back. I'm talking about back. And we stopped at a place along the way. You know what the name of it was? And it was an evil, wicked place where voodoo was really entrenched. And it was called Babylon. Babylon, Haiti. And I'm telling you, it was a creepy place to be honest with you. Because they just give themselves over to spirits. But we ended up in a place called Pion, Haiti. And that's where the meeting was going to be held. And here we come out to this big open space. And they've built a shelter out of palm trees that had been cut down. And using the palm fronds for a thatched roof over this huge area. And people coming to sit on those split palm trees and stumps. And then people would come and sit on the ground. And I remember the first morning we taught. And my brother Spain and myself, and we were teaching, and all of these people coming, no automobiles, just people coming from everywhere to be taught the Word of God. Ah, but the night service, no vehicles. We had the only vehicle, but at the night service, thousands of people came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to see the gospel story in the Jesus Project with generators, handful of generators, and you put a white sheet up between two trees that you've cut down and small trees, and you fix them, you put up the sheet and you stretch it, you crank up the generator, and you tell them, you read to them from the scripture and then let them see. And they'd never seen a television. Never seen. This was not many years ago when I ministered in Haiti. Yet they'd never, never seen a movie, a television, anything like that. No electricity, no running water. And yet thousands of people coming. The poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere is Haiti. Port-au-Prince has about 1 million people crammed into that area, and families are sleeping at night on the streets as you drive the streets of Port-au-Prince. Whole families sleeping under an old cart with old tires on it that they haul junk in, trying to get enough for one more meal. It humbled me to minister in that kind of a condition. A young man became my interpreter, said, "Do you know French Creole?" I said, "No, I don't, son." And he said, "Would you," this was not as I preached, but just as I went around the city. He said, "Can I be in your interpreter, sir?" And I said, "You sure can. I'd appreciate that." And we'd been out in the heat for a while. I'd intended on giving him something, but I thought along the way, I will buy him a drink, a cold drink. And we stopped at a little shop, and I'd give him the money. I said, "Here, get a cold drink for me and for you." He went and brought back a cold drink for me, and he had the change left enough for his own cold drink. And he said, "Sir, would you mind if I keep the money and not get the cold drink? Because my mother and my sister at home, and they have not eaten today. And with this money, I can buy rice and beans for them, and we can have a meal tonight." And honey, I'm going to tell you, I didn't just let him keep the change. I went down in my pockets, and I began to pull them out. And I left with just enough money to, you know, just get home. That's about all I had left. But I came back far richer for that experience, because I saw people that had so little but loved God so much. Amen. So many of them. And I came back to a place that people have so much and in many cases love God so little. So many blessings without devotion to the Lord, taking them for granted. Oh, everybody needs to go to a third world country for a little while to appreciate what we complain about. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God you have to pay taxes. That means you have a salary. Can you say amen? Did you know about 90% of the world doesn't have a house to live in and money in their pocket? 90% of the globe doesn't have a roof over their head and money in their pocket. Amen. It's a staggering thing to see how the rest of the world actually live. Here's what was so wonderful about that experience. Amen. As we proclaim Jesus and his love for fallen man, God the Holy Spirit, amen, did something that we were not indoctrinating people to a Western religious system, because this is more than a religious system. This is a kingdom where Jesus is Lord and Jesus reigns and rules. We don't preach without the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are dependent upon the Holy Ghost. The New Testament apostle said, this gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And Peter said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost that is sent down from heaven. We're not dependent on our ability to intellectually persuade people. We're dependent on the Holy Ghost to make this real, to illuminate the eyes of people and let them see what they could never see with their natural mind. The gospel of Jesus Christ is built upon a revelation of Jesus by the Spirit of God, not by anything that we can theologically, intellectually persuade. Amen. The Bible said, listen, Jesus asked Peter, said, "Peter, who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Some say that you're Elijah reincarnated. Some say you're this, you're that." He went through this list of what people's speculations about this miracle man, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus then looked him in the eye. And here's a man who doesn't have a theological background. He is a fisherman by trade. He's not part of the Sanhedrin court. He's a Jew, but he's not a Jew of the Jews like Paul was. And he asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" And without missing a beat, and without speculating, and without giving an educated guess, he immediately, confidently, and it shocks him that he's able to answer this clearly, that question. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And immediately Jesus said, "In flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father only." Can you say amen? And then he said, "Upon this rock, this foundation of the revelation of Jesus by the Spirit of God, I'm going to build my true church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And honey, it wasn't because the gates of hell didn't come against it. It's because of the foundation that it was on. Amen. They said, "We cannot deny what we have seen and what we have heard." Can you say amen? When they pressured them to compromise, they said, "We can't. We can't. We know too much. We've seen too much. God has revealed too much to us. We can't close our eyes to this truth. We can only embrace it and embody it as His followers. This is a gospel like no other. This is a message like no other. This is God condescending. This is God seeking fallen men and women. What a wonderful gospel this is tonight. I'm so glad that in Haiti, amen, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people hearing that gospel, many of them for the very first time, steeped in superstition, steeped in voodooism and all of these other things, that this darkness over their life, to watch that break and to know there's absolutely no way in a single church service you're going to undo years and generational years of a belief system and see that broken and that darkness shattered and people actually coming to Jesus and being set free. And when they get set free, they're free indeed. They fall in love with Jesus. They don't just go to church. They go to worship Him. And church just happens to be the place that you do that. Can you say, man, there's a difference in just showing up at church and seeking the Lord and worshiping God. Amen. And when we finally showed the Jesus Project, the Genesis Project, which was the Jesus story, and it begins in Genesis with the fall in order to lead to the cross and the resurrection. But they had never seen animals other than animals indigenous to that land. They had never seen the animals represented in that first part of that Jesus Project film. And they, when you got, there was between 10 and 15, I'm not embellishing, the lights went out into the crowd until the lights gave out and the crowd went on into the darkness. So we tried to get some kind of estimate of how many people would fill this area in the daylight. It had to be between 10 and 15,000 people that came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ without one vehicle. They came and they walked. They walked. They took their shoes, took them off, rolled up their pants leg because it was knee deep in some places, waist deep in others. But they walked through riverbeds just to come hear the gospel. Listen, when people come that hungry for the gospel, the Holy Ghost gets so excited. Amen. It's not hard to preach. It's hard not to preach. It's hard to quit if you start preaching. Amen. It flows through you because it's being pulled out of you. And God moves in mercy and grace in such a mighty way. Ruth, I come back home and, you know, trying to get people to wake up so they could hear the rest of the sermon. Amen. Out of a place where people were hanging on every word, pulling it out of me. And I thought, Lord, we need that kind of hunger. We need that kind of gratefulness. We need that kind of humility. We need that kind of appreciation. Amen. They would trade places with us, trade problems with us, trade financial circumstances with us in a flash, and get up in the morning with all the stuff we got to contend with and say, good morning, Lord, with a smile instead of good Lord morning. Can you say amen? And they love Jesus. They just, when they get really saved, they're really saved. And they love Him and they serve Him. And you begin to hear, while you're worshiping God, you begin to hear, Beni Swallow Danel! Beni Swallow Danel! Beni Swallow Danel! And my first crazy thought was, Beni Swallow a nail. Well, let's pray for Benny. He's in big trouble out here in the middle of nowhere without a surgeon or a hospital. No, Beni Swallow Danel in French Creole is praise ye the Lord. When they begin to get excited in Jesus, you start hearing a spontaneity of Beni Swallow Danel, Beni Swallow Danel, Beni Swallow Danel. And after a while, I would join them and say, Beni Swallow Danel. Hallelujah. Amen. And I finally got the dialect of it where I could say, Beni Swallow Danel. Hallelujah. Amen. I could join them in praise and join them in the worship of God. And what was so striking to me in this intimacy department is, and we'll move into that and close pretty quickly tonight. I know there's a lot going on, but is that the children in the orphanage that we supported for years, they loved Jesus. They didn't come out to put on a play for me. You see, they all came out, about 150 of them. I used to have a picture in my office back at the old Holy Church of God, and it was me and all of those kids. They had it enlarged. One I had taken left with them, they had it enlarged, sent it back to me. One Father's Day, I got a envelope with a picture in it of myself standing with a whole mess of those kids that we were feeding and clothing and helping. One of the most joyous parts of ministry is those parts of ministry. Because Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. Prophetically speaking of the nations that bless Israel and the nations that curse Israel, but personally speaking of all those that have become Israel by faith, all those that have become spiritual Israel by faith. Amen. And I remember when they came out and they were going to greet me for the first time. And they had been told that our church was part of their sustenance. And I thought they would put on kind of a performance. You know, they're going to sing a Christian song. And they're going to be spiffed up because they know somebody who represents their feeding and clothing is coming. And they're going to put their best foot forward. And they're going to do their best singing. And I just expected them to sing really beautifully. And to really look their best. I expected that. Because that's how this kind of works, you know. And I got there and all these kids raining. Some of them were bush babies. And they were literally left in the bush to die. And someone would find this child and take it to that mission home. And, I got to tell you about it. Can I just tell you a story tonight? We're talking about getting close to God and intimacy with the Lord. But all this is involved in that because I saw kids that were intimate with God. And I know people that have been in church for years that don't know how to be intimate with God. They've never been taught that it's necessary to be intimate with God. I have preached for years to get people to rekindle the first love. And I'm finally becoming aware of the fact that many people have never even discovered it. They don't need to get it back. They need to get it. Amen. Period. Amen. Amen. When I got saved, I fell in love with the Lord. It just came natural to love Him back for loving me. Because I got a grasp on the fact that God came down to this earth. Took on flesh. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who thought it not robbery to be called what he indeed was, equal with God. But he made of himself no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And when you really get it, that God would do that to save you and to save me, who didn't deserve anything but His justice, but we obtained His mercy because of His love for us, it makes me melt in my heart. I've been preaching this for over 35 years. Amen. Over 36 years. Over 37 years. Amen. Before I came here, I was preaching this. Amen. And I've been here 35 years. So it's been over 36, 37 years I've been preaching this gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The message of the cross still draws me close to God. It still breaks my heart. It still makes me want to praise Him. It draws praise out and it draws love out to Him. That He would love me to that much still blows me away. I'm not over it. People are wanting to go on to the new thing. Honey, I'm telling you something. It doesn't get better than what we have. Amen. When people get tired of what they have, they start looking for some new revelation. And I've lived long enough and preached long enough. Amen. I've been the pastor of a church for 35 years. And I've seen the new stuff come and go. And ultimately, the great revivals in our world come one way. And that's when Jesus and Him crucified is preached once again. Can you say amen? The great revival in China is about Jesus and Him crucified. Saved in the first generation. It saves in the postmodern world in the 21st century. Amen. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. Because Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I, not your intellectual persuasiveness, your eloquent speaking, but I will draw all men unto me. Can just all that will listen, all that will come, I'll do it if I be lifted up from the earth. He wasn't talking about lifting Him up in praise. He's talking about hanging on a cross suspended between heaven and earth and bridging the gap between a holy God and sinful man. Can you say, man? Aren't you glad that He did that?
Yes.
I'm not going to predict something. I'm going to prophesy something under the unction of the Spirit tonight. And you'll live long enough to see it come to pass. Amen. Listen to me. The great revival, the authentic revival, not the flash in the pan stuff that lasts a little while and fizzle or crash and burn. But the real revival we're praying for in America, amen, is going to be when the church of Jesus Christ, Christians like you and me, get excited again about being saved and get excited again about what He's done for us on the cross. Amen. And get the joy of the Lord, amen, residing within us, amen, and go to work, turn on, because Jesus died for me and saved me and forgave my sins. Hallelujah. whom having not seen you love with what? Joy. Say it with me. Unspeakable. If you could describe it, it's not that joy. Amen. If you can describe it, it's not unspeakable, because you've got the verbiage, you've got the vocabulary, you've got the intellectual ability to articulate it. God said, my joy is beyond that. And if you wonder why some of us talk in tongues, it's because it's joy unspeakable. And if you can't find words to express what's in your heart, he said, I'll give you a tongue so you can tell me what's in your heart. When, Lord, you're wonderful, you're fabulous, I love you with all of my heart, you're the greatest God in the universe, isn't enough. He gives a shada bakosonda da barita, I koshola baronda da bahasini anda da batata, e kashala babianda da ba. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! No, it's not too much pizza. I didn't even have any today. Amen. Amen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Out of your innermost being, amen, there's an artesian well that springs up under what? Everlasting life. The revival in China is simplistic. Jesus and him crucified is being preached. Amen. They're coming to God. 20,000 people a day estimated coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior in Red China. The persecution of the church is getting heavy. Amen. Not too long ago, they said, we must kill the infant. We must kill the child while he's still an infant. Literally, we've got to snuff out Christianity before it grows, because it will begin to affect our culture. Amen. If it continues to grow at this rate. But it didn't stop it. It's still growing. They persecuted the early church so comfortable in Jerusalem. Miracles taking place, mighty things were happening. They were so comfortable, and heavy persecution came upon them. They had to literally run for their lives. Amen. And they were dispersed into all the nations and cities around. And the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What the devil meant for evil, God brought good out of it. Amen. Paul is put in prison. Don't know if they're going to kill him or not, but he's in jail awaiting the final sentence. And the Bible said the brethren are waxing bold because of my bonds. Again, the devil is foiled again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody seen the Roadrunner cartoons? Amen. Where the Wile E. Coyote's always getting something from the Ajax company to drop on the Roadrunner, and it always backfires. Amen. I respect the devil. I understand that he's a spiritual entity, and I understand that there is a degree of respect because of his abilities are far beyond ours, but we are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Everybody say the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's schemes, no weapon. Everybody say it with me. No weapon. No weapon. Everybody say no weapon. I want you to know hell has nothing. Amen. Nothing. Hell holds nothing greater than the power of God that's keeping you and me tonight. Everybody say no weapon.
No weapon.
It didn't say no weapon would ever be formed. Amen. It said no weapon that is formed against you in the book of Isaiah shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This victory is yours by legacy. It belongs to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness that obtains them this benefit and blessing is of me, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It cannot be shaken. We have a standing with God. Hallelujah. Well, these kids came out, and they began to sing a beautiful praise song. The only thing I know, I recognized in my limited French Creole was the name of Jesus pronounced Jesus. And they came to this part, and they said, oh, Jesus. And I realized this is not part of the song. Some of these kids now are not singing along anymore, this Christian song. Now they're praising God. They shut their eyes and begin to say, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I watched with their eyes closed, because now they're oblivious of me. I'm standing in my little camera getting my snapshots to bring back, and suddenly I put my camera down. And I thought, this is no time for taking snapshots. I want to enter into this worship of the King. Can Can you say amen? This is no time for a press release. This is time to throw the camera down and say, listen, we'll worry about raising the money to get the beans and rice later. Right now, I just want to worship. I want to, they're bowing to my King. Can you say amen? I want to get involved in worship. I've been in church performances. I want to get involved in the worship of my King. Amen. And these kids, oh, in the mouth of babes, you know, the children begin to worship God when he rode into Jerusalem, and they got real noisy and emotional about it, and they begin to try to suppress them. And Jesus spoke up and said, let them alone. If these should hold their peace, God is able to cause the rocks to cry out praise. They wrote that great song off that great scripture, before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise him. Can you say amen? And then they wrote another song, ain't no rock going to praise him. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm going to do it myself. Can you say amen? I saw that true worship. My heart melted. Tears began to run down my cheeks. I saw tears begin to run down their cheeks with their eyes shut. And pretty soon they're saying, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then after a while I hear it like popcorn all over the place. Benny swallowed the nail. Benny swallowed the nail. Benny swallowed the nail. Praise ye the Lord. And I realized I was not watching a performance. Children putting on their best foot so that make sure we keep this mission connection. No, I'm watching kids who know God and know what Jesus did for them at Calvary, giving the honor and the praise for. Kids that in our Sunday school departments don't even hardly know what it's all about. They're just looking at the next field trip, the next this, the next activity. And if we can just get them in church or near a church, we feel like maybe something will rub off on them. Honey, we need to do more than have something rub off. By the way, nothing going to rub off on them. Amen. I got a son that was a PK his whole life, and believe me, it did not rub off on him. Amen. I'm praying for his hide still. Amen. And I believe God's going to save him. Praise God. But listen to me. Church won't do it. People have to come to God. And they can't come to God except the Father draw them. And he can't draw them until we begin to open our heart. He won't beat it down. He won't batter it down. But believe me, he's got a ways and means committee to get us into a circumstance. One of the most respected men, yes, he does. He knows how to bring us to an end of ourselves. And that's an act of great love on his part. How many know that's great love on his part? That he don't give up on us, don't let us go. Amen. That he interrupts our plunge to hell with his great love and conviction and compassion. I love Rube Taylor. Brother Bob Taylor used to be the head of Full Gospel Businessmen's here in Tampa. I don't even know if that organization exists anymore. But I used to attend every meeting. He used to attend our church regularly and sing a lot of times for us. And I was with him when he was at the end of his life. I was the pastor he chose of all the pastors he knew to be in that room with him in that most intimate of times when he was preparing to go and be with the Lord. What an honor it was to be able to visit him in the hospital out of all the prominent preachers he knew, because he confidented my walk with God, because I didn't just preach with a theological degree, but with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He knew that I knew God. And honey, when you get down to your last breath, it's not the theology so much, amen, that it's the God that this is all about that becomes so vitally important to you. Can you say amen? To have his presence brings his peace and his grace. But Brother Bob Taylor was one of the most... You might have seen him come through Penny Saver, Brother Bob Taylor. Anyway, he was dignified. He carried himself with a dignity. He just seemed like he'd been, a nice guy his whole life. But you know where he came to Christ? He came to Christ in a prison cell. And when I heard that, because I just saw a gentleness, I saw a peacefulness, I saw a dignity, I saw a respectfulness and an honesty about his life, and I just respected him so deeply. And I couldn't visualize him anyway but the kind of man that he was after he met Jesus as his personal Savior. Ah, but he did meet Jesus. But he met him in a prison cell. He came to an end of himself. And that's where, amen, the Lord came into his life. And he loved. See, he that's forgiven much loves much, the Bible said. And when you love him so much, you want that intimacy with him. It's not enough to just go to church and watch the praise team. You've got to get involved. Amen. You want to be involved, and you may not be emotional. I'm not expecting you to jump up out of your seat and grab a banner and go waving it and hollering hallelujah. That may not be you. But being involved involves not just your physical posture, what you do or don't do with your body. I don't like to be told what to do. Everybody stand up and raise your hands. Well, you know, that's robotic. I don't think God gets much out of that. It's like, go hug Pamela. She's your wife. We've been married 46 years. Why should I do something silly like that? Oh, well, if you tell me to do it, I guess I will. Pamela, I'm going to hug you because they told me to hug you. Here's your hug, gal. All right, that should hold you till next anniversary. You think that's going to do her any good? I don't like people to try to push me into something. God don't want us pushed into it. He loves a cheerful giver in every way of giving. Amen? He wants us to want to. He wants to get a hold of our heart and put a want to in there. Amen? Hallelujah. To be willful servants of the Lord. When I saw that intimacy, that spiritual communion with God those children had, I thought, I'm going to go back to America where we have healing lines and blessing lines and all kinds of other lines, but we don't have a lot of congregational intimacy with God. We don't have a lot of congregation interaction during worship. We've got a well-robed choir. I went to a church one time and preached on a pastor's appreciation. They had one of these choirs that make an entrance and an exit, and they had these beautiful robes. Their robes cost more than my suit. Listen, go to a Christian store and look at one of those choir robes sometimes. What are those things? I looked at a banner for our wall. I loved it. It had an American flag on it, and it was a banner. It was a silk screen banner to put on one of our walls. And I was looking at that, and I thought, I'd love to have that. That really speaks to me. John Adams had said something, amen, as a Christian president, and there was an American flag, and it was on a silk screen, and it was about, you know, 6 foot, so it would go along this wall right here. And I looked at that thing, and my son was with me, Matthew. And I said, Matthew, I don't have my glasses. Would you tell me how much that is? He said, oh, Dad, let me see. And he looked at it, you know, because he still got them good eyes. He looked at it, and he said, $17.50. And I thought, that's a fair price. I mean, you know, it's silk screen. It's thin. $17.50. I picked that sucker up. I was going to go up and buy it, you know. I'm walking up there, and I decided, you know, I got in a better light they had in there. And I still didn't have my glasses, but I rolled it out a little bit. I just wanted to double check. And it was $175. I rolled it back up, and I marched back. I put it back in. I mean, God could give me the $175, but I don't know if God really wanted me to put that on the wall or not. I know I didn't have it in my pocket that day. Can you say, man, we'd have to receive a love offering for it? And frankly, I don't know if it was worth $175. It's just a piece of fabric. Doug can do something like that out of one of his wife's old slips. And nobody will know the difference. Just cut that sucker at the top and bottom and put it in a frame and superimpose something on it. Praise God. Amen. So much. The choir comes out in beautiful robes. I'm not against robes. It'd be nice if we robed our people here someday. Amen. After we fix the air conditioner. Anyway. Amen. First things first. But so they came out in procession. They would pause as the music played on this big Hammond organ. And I mean, that place filled, and those people would pause and walk out, and they did that till the whole choir, and then that anticipation is building, and then they crank that service up. And when I feel the every time the Spirit of the Lord, anyway, I'll dance like David danced. And that choir got to shaking that building, and that was beautiful. And the audience is loving being in a service like that, but the audience is watching. They're just watching the choir get excited. They love to see the choir sing. And maybe one person out of 500 or 600 in that audience that day raised their hand about this high. Yes, yes, yes. And I thought, what's wrong with this picture? In Haiti, all of them, their teachers that taught them, their principal, the person in charge of the orphanage, them, me, it drew me in. I threw the camera down. I left the pictures, everything. Amen. They sent me a picture. I didn't bring it back. Amen. That picture. And here we are just worshiping the Lord. Lost in His love. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to be in church on a Sunday morning in America and see the whole congregation and the singers and the preacher lost in His love. Adoring Him, loving Him in our own way. However you want to express it, but just lost in His love. Enjoying the Lord, whom having not seen, you highly respect and regard as the Messiah, the great King of Israel. No, whom having not seen, ye love. With what kind of love? With the that produces a joy that is indescribable and full of glory. Is that in your Bible? That we're to love Christ like that? Lord, how can you love someone you haven't seen? Glad you ask. The Holy Spirit is here to mediate the presence of Jesus to us. To make Him real to us. Real enough to touch by faith. Amen? To love without seeing. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's why they preach the good news with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Not just with the intellectual correctness of right theology. Can you say amen? But with who? The Holy Ghost. Who does what? Who draws men to Christ. Who mediates the presence of God. Who opens the spiritual eyes of the spiritual blind. And He's here to be the go-between. To mediate the presence of God for the purpose of intimacy. So that we enter into the presence of the Lord on Sundays. We don't just go to church. We come to God. Amen? To experience His presence. David knew that there was more to this thing than just going up to the temple. He said, one thing have I desired. There's a passion in his heart. That will I seek after, to inquire at his temple and behold his beauty. Amen? We had visitors here one evening service, I was ministering on that particular scripture, beholding his beauty, and I could tell that they had never heard a message or considered the beauty of the Lord. I mean, that's like marrying a mail order bride, you know? And she shows up on the train and looks like she fell out of an ugly tree and hit every limb on the way down. Amen? Amen? And you say, dear Lord, what have I done? How can you? Listen, God wants to reveal Himself through His Word and by His Spirit in such a way that you begin to glimpse His beauty. Heard the story of a photographer. My cousin was a photographer for Olin Mills for a long time in Plant City. And he took pictures of these babies and these families and all these different kind of pictures. Heard a story of a photographer, and there was a lady who never got out in public. She was real backward lady, and she was not real attractive. I have to be kind here tonight. She just was not attractive at all. She had some real issues with her appearance, but she wanted some pictures to leave for posterity. She wanted to leave some remembrances of herself, and she asked if someone could come to her home and take pictures of her instead of her going out into a studio. And one of these photographers said, yes, I'll come and take the pictures. And you know how they do. They take, you know, all these different photographs, and then they get them all framed, and they get the 5x7s, the 8x10s, the 20x whatevers, and you got this package and that package. I mean, they go to a lot of trouble because they expect you to take some of those packages, not to just get the one that you get for $8.95. They want you to get the $122.50 package. With the wallet ones and the other ones. And it's okay. That's a good job. It's honest. And he was maybe a little too honest. Because he brought all these pictures and laid them out and said, pick the ones you want in your package. She looked at that one. She said, I don't know. This just doesn't do me justice. And he laid it down. She picked up the next one and said, well, this is close, but I don't know, sir. This just doesn't do me justice. And, you know, she's not going to get any prettier as it goes along. You understand? You're really seeing in the picture. She picks it up and says, you know, this doesn't do me justice either. In fact, I don't want any of them. None of these pictures do me justice. He said, lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen? You know what we need from God and what we've got from God?
Yes.
We've got mercy.
Absolutely.
We've got mercy. Folks, we got mercy. You know what the difference is between mercy and grace? Mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. We deserve judgment, but we got mercy because Jesus took our punishment. You don't get what you do deserve. And that's justice. You don't get what you deserve because of His mercy. And in grace, you do get what you don't deserve. Amen. His forgiveness, His acceptance into His royal family. Amen. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, when you get to heaven, and when I get to heaven, our first thought is we're going to be bowled over by walking through a gate that is carved out of solid pearl, standing on a roadway that is 24-karat transparent gold. Amen. Looking at a foundation of a city as you approach it made out of precious stones, 12 precious stones. Can you say amen? With walls of jasper. Listen, and walking down and seeing the river of life. What are we going to feel? What are we going to feel? I'm going to tell you what you're going to feel. Before you think about any of the beauty and grandeur of the place, the first thing that's going to happen when you hit that town is I really don't belong in a place this holy. And you know something? You're absolutely right. You and I don't belong in a place that holy. But we're going to spend eternity there because we're going to get what we don't deserve because of His grace, amazing grace. That's why, amen, I believe the true revival, the lasting one, the one that don't fizzle out and the one that don't shipwreck and the one that don't crash and boom. Can you say amen? And crash and burn. Can you say amen? The real revival. It's not going to be about an anointed woman or anointed man with special gifts. It's going to be when the church realizes that when two or more of us gather together in His name, He says, there am I in the midst of them. And if He's here in the midst of us and we begin to recognize and reverence His presence and come into His presence, in His presence there's fullness of joy and at His right hand there's pleasure forevermore. And when people see us enjoying our God and joying in the God of our salvation and worshiping Him from our heart, maybe they'll believe what we got is genuine and authentic instead of just another of the many world religions. Amen? Don't go to sleep on me. I'm almost done. Try to hold them open just a little while longer. I'm tired too, but I am so excited down in my soul. Though the outward man perished, the inward man was renewed day by day. I'm excited about Mount Calvary. I've been saved since I was 21 and I'm 62. And I'm excited about that old rugged cross. Amen. I'm excited about the name of Jesus. I love when Jimmy Swagger used to sing Jesus, just the mention of His name. Amen. Do you remember when if you can't remember when just the mention of His name brought a lump in your throat, you've never known the first love. There's no need teaching on returning to the first love. You've never had it to begin with, and God wants you to know there is a love that can come from you to Him. I've always thought of the Holy Ghost in my life to help me love everybody else with the love of God. But it's to help me love God with that quality love. How can I love Ruth with the love of the Lord and love God with some religious secondhand brand of love? I can love Ruth enough to lay down my life for her, but not Christ enough to lay down my life for Him. No, the same Holy Ghost gives me love to love Him back with, just like He gives me tongues to articulate what's in my heart to Him. Amen? Amen? Why can't we love Christ enough to serve Him with our whole heart? Amen? Holy Ghost is in there. He shares the love of God. He helps us to love Him appropriately. And the only way to love God appropriately is to love Him with everything we are and everything that we have. And friend, that is passionate love. That's not a religious brand. Amen? Church in America ever gets hold of that love, we'll have a revival across the land. And it won't be led by one person. It'll be led by the Holy Spirit. And it will revitalize, amen, the whole church world. We're going to see a shakeup in America. It's got to start somewhere. You say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, it has to start somewhere. Wouldn't it be great if God just decided to start it here? And someday a mighty revival would touch America and they begin to trace it back and they come all the way down here to Tampa. Amen. To an over-the-hill preacher. Amen. That's preached for years. And here I am down in a little church on the corner with a handful of people. Amen. I got a feeling somebody, amen, is going to get on a plane and come all the way from some other state just to be in a service with us because of the radio broadcast and the tapes. Somebody's going to actually pack up and get on a plane and come all the way here. And they're going to go to, they're going to come by that big church up front and walk in and say, "Where is he?" They're going to say, "Well, he ain't here. This is not, oh, that church. Oh, you mean that church? Yeah, well, you go on down the road to that one." Then they're going to go over there to the Kingdom Hall. They're going to say, "He ain't here." And they're going to say, "Well, where is he then?" They say, "Down the road a little further." Then they're going to go over to that big old empty building over there. Ain't nobody going to tell them they ain't here, but it's going to be obvious he ain't here. But if they ever come on around the curve. Hallelujah. Here we are, praising God. Amen. Loving God. Hallelujah. John Osteen's daddy built a church that ran 10,000 people from 100 people. He used to minister at Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting. And John said that, you know, he was sitting there with his wife, Dodie, one morning. He said, you know, he said, "I got a little embarrassed because people would actually get on a plane and they would travel, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 miles to be in a church service with us. And they had a feed barn that they had converted into a church. He was a Baptist preacher. He went to hear a lady preacher because, number one, you don't listen to them. And number two, she was one of them Holy Ghost-filled preachers that spoke in tongues. So he went down with a little pencil and pad with his head deacon to find things to, you know, with violated scripture to go back and tell his church to stay away from there. But there was no place to sit, he said. The only place he had to sit was up they had some seats left in the choir where the choir sang. So he had to sit up behind the pulpit. So him and his head deacon are kind of slinking around there because he's there to find stuff to disqualify this whole spiritual stuff with. Instead, he sat down up there, and this was in Humble, Texas, outside of, I guess, Houston or wherever. Humble, Texas. What a place for a church. Amen. What an address. Humble, Texas. But he's sitting there. Amen. This Baptist pastor used to minister as a missionary in the Philippines for years. And he's sitting there with his head deacon, and they're there to really be critical of the whole thing. And they're sitting there, and they're just sitting there, you know, and they get down near the end of the service, and of course he's got plenty of notes to disqualify and be disparaging of the whole thing, and the Spirit of God begin to fall on that place, to hover over that place. We don't preach the gospel. Amen. The gospel did not come in word only, but in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in much assurance and in power, we preach the gospel, Peter said, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Holy Ghost began to settle over that audience. Amen. And John said, next thing he knew, that they were calling people for prayer, and he found himself and his head deacon up there, and hands were being laid on them. And to make a long story, amen, short, he got filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Went back under the power of God to his pulpit, and they give him the left foot of fellowship. Can you say amen? Which means they kicked him out of the denomination and the church. And he had to go start an independent ministry, not in meanness, but God called him to preach, and he wasn't going to quit preaching because they had defrocked him because he just got too spiritual. So he's in a feed barn that has been converted like we've converted this. This is better than a feed barn. Amen. And an acre and a quarter here. And he's in a feed barn, and they have 100 people, and they can't break 100, and they're just there. And he said he would be embarrassed because he would preach for Full Gospel Businessmen and their special meetings in different cities, and people would listen to tapes. They would get on a plane, fly to Texas, ask directions, and end up at a feed barn church expecting this great cathedral and this great ministry. Somehow or another, people look at things that way. It's how it's framed, not the substance of it. And he would be embarrassed because he could watch them come in and watch their countenance drop. We had a busload of singers come from the Carolinas. Do you remember that, to the Holy Church of God? We were running, you know, that's when we were really running a big audience in. We were running at least 60 people on a good Sunday. I don't want anybody to hear this on a tape. They still think we're 800. Amen. Because I preach like that. I preach like that. Amen. And they came in this bus. And they came in, we had plumbing problems between they were going to come and start that evening, bring the big singing group. There must have been 20 of them, amen, with the band and the singers and the helpers and a busload of them from the Carolinas that heard our tapes, amen. We were on radio in Carolina for a while, and they came down, and they were expecting to come down and sing before this big audience of excited. And we were excited. They wanted excitement. We had it, but big audience, sorry, we're in Suffering Springs. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, listen, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. We were there for 25 years. Praise God. And no, we used to live there. I'm not being disparaging. I'm telling you that the devil has done a job, and it was tough, tough neighborhood. Amen. We couldn't get security guards. They feared for their life, they said, and wouldn't watch our parking lot. We had to get the angels to work overtime. Amen. Just to take care of our parking lot. And they did a good job of it. But these folks come in. Amen. And I had taken off my preacher clothes. I had on my plumbing clothes, which was an old pair of dungarees and my oldest pair of shoes, and because I'm going to go plunge out a bathroom. And I'm in there plunging out the bathroom, and I hear someone saying, "Hello, hello," because upstairs is locked, but the basement is open. And here comes these people in looking for the preacher, you know. And I come out, and I look like you remember the washwoman on Carol Burnett? I look like a male version of her. Amen. And I come out with my plunger in my hand, and they said, "Excuse me, sir, could you tell us where the pastor is?" And I said, "Wait just a minute, and I'll get him." And I walked back in the bathroom, put the plunger down, and walked back out and said, and boy, I put out my hand. I said, and everybody kind of went, and then I said, oh, excuse me. I said, "I'm Pastor." I didn't want to shake it either. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I said, "I'm Pastor Venable." And I seen right then the countenance drop. Oh, but that wasn't when it really dropped. When it really dropped is when we went upstairs and they saw that we couldn't hold 800 people. And then I seen it drop even more when it came time to start the service, and we had everybody there that was coming. Amen. 60 of us probably showed up, and I remember them telling me, "Brother Venable, we listened to you preach," and says, "We kind of thought there'd be about 800 people here, or 1,000. Where you preach?" And I said, "Well, this is us." And I began to think, did God really send y'all down here, or did you come to show off to a whole bunch of people? Because if you came to show off to a whole bunch of people, you're in the wrong church. But if you came to love God and worship God with us, you found the right place to do that. Amen. We're used to praising God. I didn't tell them that. We're used to worshiping God here. We don't just watch a salvation show. We come here to worship God. You lead us and pull us into worship, we'll worship with you. But if you just want to put on a show, you might as well pack the bus. Amen. But anyway, I didn't tell them that. I was never rude. I just thought it and had to repent of my thoughts. I'll probably have to repent of telling you what I thought tonight when I get home. Amen. But anyway, amen. There's another guy came, and I remember him. He had such a sweet spirit, and he called me, and he was over here from Trinidad. And he was a part of the Independent Assembly of God organization. He was here in the States for a while. He called me up and he said, "Pastor Venable," he said, "I am Brother so-and-so." He said, I am from Trinidad, and I have a message burning in my heart to share with your people if you believe it's in the Lord." And I said, "Well, sir, I know you are here for a short time, and I know you need funds for your work, and we are a small church." I didn't want anyone else to get that look on their face like, "Oh, Lord, I traveled here for this." I wanted, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want nobody. If you're going to come and be disappointed, don't come and be disappointed, because there's no reason to be disappointed, because God meets with us. Haven't you heard what he said? "Where two or more gather together in my name, what draws him? There am I in the midst of them." Well, it don't get no better than Jesus being here. Can you say, man? If he's here, he's here. You can get in a church with 10,000 people, but if God don't show up, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Anyway, the guy from Trinidad, he says, I said, "Listen, we can't give you a big offering, but we'll give you the best we can." I said, "We don't have a whole lot of people. I want you to understand that if you want to go to a bigger church, I'll understand where they can give you a better offering." He said, "My brother, this is not about a better offering. This is not about a bigger church." He said, "If I can be a blessing to you and your people," he said, "the only thing that matters to me," he said, "wherever I go, I just want to put my best foot forward for Jesus Christ." I said, "Sir, you come preach for us." Can you say amen? And I would love, if we ever grew to over 1,000 people, I would love to have that man flown in from Trinidad to preach in my pulpit, because he wouldn't come to get the offering or to wow the crowd. He would come to put his best foot forward for Jesus. When I quit my job and threw myself back out on faith again recently, within the last 30 days, I had had a real negative interaction with one of the men there, one of the maintenance guys. We just didn't get along. I loved him with the love of the Lord, but I didn't like him very much. You understand that I would have never done him harm, but I sure didn't have warm feelings. We just didn't interact very well as we closed tonight. And we had this issue, and it's one of those situations where I don't regret anything I said, but I regret being angry when I said it. And I have never developed a taste for crow. I like turkey, chicken, most fowl, pheasant I've heard is good. But eating crow is not something I'm good at. If anybody had to eat crow, amen, if you want to be right with God, you've got to get right with people. And you know what I'm saying? And I didn't say any bad words. I only said truthful words, but I said them in anger. And I went back to him, and I took him by the hand. And amazingly, when I took him by the hand, I felt that sweet love of Jesus just jump out of me. I felt like hugging him, but he wasn't the huggable type. You know, there are huggables and there are non-huggables. He was definitely a non-huggable. Amen. But I felt the hug of Jesus. I wanted to grab him by the neck and just hug him. But we just shook hands, and I said, I want you to forgive me. He said, what for? I said, well, the other day. Well, you know. And I just said, no, you don't understand. He said, you don't have to. I said, yes, I do. I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get there. I didn't mean to raise my voice. I was tired and wore out, and you got in my face, and there it went. But I'm sorry. Amen. And will you forgive me? Of course, yeah, all right. You know, the macho thing. Amen. He never mentioned God, never acted like he. But when I got ready to leave, he said, I hear you're leaving. I said, yes, I am. I said, yes, I am. I said, I got a little bitty church, but I'm going to give my rest of my life to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, oh, it's not little. He's never been here. I didn't mention the number. He said, it isn't little. It isn't little. He said, if there's five of you there and Jesus shows up, you'll have church. Oh, preach on, brother. Hallelujah. Tell me about it. I need to hear that. Amen. You'll have church. And I thought, God is bearing witness through this guy that I didn't even knew God from Adam's house can. Amen. And yet here he is talking about faith and talking about God and talking about when you get together and Jesus shows up. So that's all you need is Jesus to show up. And where in their scripture he said where two of you show up, he'll show up. I said, that's exactly right. I think that's exactly the King James. Where two of you show up, he shows up. If he shows up, you're going to have church. Folks, I've been in churches where I don't think he showed up. I mean, the preacher was theologically correct. The choir preceded and receded, and everybody did their thing. But you're sitting there like a bump on the log, and with all these other bumps on the log, and you're watching the show, and the show goes off without a hitch. And in a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock, the show is over. Amen. 11 to 12, the whole thing is done. Communion is served. Offering is taken. Building fund is raised. Amen. The preacher has preached. Everybody has sung the songs. It's over. It's done. A quick altar call is made. You either get in or get out because it's done. It's done. It's over. And everybody calls that intimacy with God. Going to church. No, coming to Christ. Coming to the presence of the Lord. Those children in Haiti taught me about true worship because they didn't put on no show for me. And they began to worship God. They worshiped God. For the sake of this tape that's being made as we close tonight, I'll never forget over picking up Entertainment Weekly magazine when they were making the movie The Preacher's Wife, the new version with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. Was it Whitney or Denzel that said what they said? Denzel had a background in faith. I imagine Whitney does. A lot of the great singers, amen, had a background in a church choir somewhere. Mahalia Jackson was stayed true to it, but others veered from it for the tinsel of Hollywood. But Denzel had a background in the faith. And Penny Marshall directed The Preacher's Wife, that movie, The Preacher's Wife, as she went from her television days to a directorial career. And so they brought a choir in from Atlanta because they need a scene where a choir is going to sing this rousing Christian tune. And so they bring the choir in and say, now we're going to turn the cameras on. We just want you to forget the cameras and just sing your hearts out. But see, they're used to acting, turning this on and turning it off. And so this is in Entertainment Weekly magazine, an interview with Denzel Washington, who was the lead in this. You know, he played the angel, I guess. But anyway, they clicked and they begin to roll the film. And this choir from Atlanta began to sing and magnify Jesus. Well, they said, hey, you know, cameras are rolling. All these people are standing around. The sound, boom men are there with the boom mics. But they're singing. And after a while, they're starting to shut their eyes. And after a while, they're starting to move. And after a while, they're starting to praise God. They're entering into His presence. And Penny Marshall just filming. That's all it is to them. It's just filming. They're used to working with actors and people that you cue to go and you cue to stop. And here this choir is getting involved. This is in Entertainment Weekly. This interview with Denzel and this choir is getting involved. And after a while, they're so involved, they forget the cameras and the boom mics and Penny Marshall and the fact that they're going to be on a movie screen. Right now, movies is not what it's about. They're magnifying the Lord. Amen? And they're really getting into it. And this thing's rolling and rolling and rolling. Penny says, boy, that's great. That's good. Cut. She hollers cut, and they come out with this little thing go click, and the cameras go off, and the sound is cut off, and the choir is really grooving and praising God. And she says, cut! And the choir is lost in the spirit, praising God. And she hollers, cut! Again, and they're praising God, and they forget about everything else but praising God. Wouldn't it be good if some of our Pentecostal churches that talk about the Holy Spirit could forget about the clock and get lost in the Spirit and praise their God on Sunday morning? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe somebody get saved. Maybe somebody get healed. Maybe somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hello? Instead of just a church service. Or you don't need to be intimate with God, because this is all there really is to it. They were entering into His presence. So she turned to Denzel Washington and says, why won't they stop? And he looked back at her, and I quote from Entertainment Weekly. He said, if you don't want Him here, don't invite Him. In other words, when you worship from your heart, you invite His presence. You can't turn that on and off like a switch. If God ever enters the church, you can't follow that old clock anymore. You can't follow this watch anymore. You can't go with your protocol and your program anymore. Amen. I love it when the Holy Ghost interrupts the service. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Brother, would you come and let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! I just read off the internet this week that people are saying religion as it once was, this encounter with God stuff is out the window. Church has become more, less emotional and less spiritual and just more matter of fact now. But this writer who was a journalist that was writing about religion in the 21st century says, but they cannot ever discount people who are continually having unexplainable, supernatural, life-changing encounters with a living God. They just can't explain that away. That has not stopped, thank God. That has not stopped. When I met the Lord, it was life-changing. Amen. When Rube Taylor met the Lord, it was life-changing. He went from an alcoholic in a prison cell, amen, and a criminal to the leader of one of the most respected men's organization in this city. Amen. Because he had a life-changing experience, because the gospel didn't come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in the assurance that that gives you. When you really meet the Lord, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God is here, I suppose. Amen. Find us something good. Hallelujah. We just stand tonight and let's give Him praise as we close this service today. Somebody's going to show up here because of the radio broadcast sooner or later. Last Sunday morning service was on this Sunday morning. Amen. On WMAF. Hallelujah. Amen. So what's happening here is going out. Amen. There's a man supposed to come here that attended over 20-some years ago, the Holy Church of God. And he's supposed to be here next Sunday night. Been downloading sermons from the website. Mother's Day, there was 20-some sermons downloaded in the United Kingdom. People are coming to our website now from everywhere. I mean, literally. Siberia, Germany, Norway, Singapore, Canada, California, Canada, California, Singapore, Germany, somewhere way down in some place that I've never heard of. God is sending His word. And the amazing thing is, He's still sending it, whether we're big, whether we're small. It doesn't matter to God. We've got a heart to reach people, and God's going to help us. Can you say amen? Everybody say, God's going to help us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to serve a God like this tonight? Aren't you glad that He wants to be close to you? And He wants to draw you close to Him. I'm not just talking about power. I'm talking about mediating the person of Jesus Christ. Someone that we can love. I have never fell in love. I enjoy the power of God. I embrace the person of God. There's a difference from my enjoyment of the power and my embracing of the person. There are times in praise, I don't want to just feel God. I want to reach out in my praise and embrace Him. Can you say amen? And hold Him close as I possibly can. I love Him tonight. He's been my greatest companion, counselor, friend, healer, deliverer, helper, savior that I've ever known and could ever know. He loved me when no one else could love me like He loved me. He understood me like no one else understood me. And He has won my heart. And I preach tonight because I love Him. And I want others to know Him. And those that do know Him to fall in love with Him. And serve Him with the joy of fervency and passion. Amen? That revival that begins to happen in congregations across America will begin to change the culture. It's the only kind of revival that will. The flash in the pan stuff come and go. But a return to the Lord in reverence and love and devotion, that's different. That's what's happening in mainland China tonight. Listen to their praise music. Can't hold a candle to our praise music as far as lyrical content. It's simplistic, like children. Yeah. Childlike faith. Yeah. Just loving their God. But those people are devoted enough to lay down their life for Him. And that kind of devotion, amen, is absolutely shaking the highest political powers in China tonight. The heavy persecution is coming, but the reports are still coming out of the Chinese revival. 20,000 people a day coming to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. And one message is bringing them, Jesus and Him crucified. And that's what's also producing that kind of devotion to the Lord. They appreciate and embrace what Jesus has done for them on the cross. It blows them away that God would love them that much. Can you say, man, when it starts blowing us away again, maybe we will influence others for Jesus. Amen? Would you like a closer walk with God? How many want a closer walk with God tonight? Hallelujah. Almost 100% in this room. That's what He's calling us to. Is that closer walk with Him. Amen. If you don't want Him to come and interrupt your service, amen, don't invite Him with authentic praise. Don't become true worshipers, because the day that we do, He's going to show up and manifest Himself. Can you say amen? They had to just wait for those people to get through praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Just send everybody to lunch and let them finish praising God until they got Him good and praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you ever see a little snippet of a choir singing, amen, in The Preacher's Wife, starring Denzel Washington, amen, and Whitney Houston, I want you to understand that choir was the real deal. Those are not actors putting on a show for the camera. Praise God. Isn't God good tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, You've seen these hands tonight, and You've seen beyond our hands. You've seen right into our hearts. Lord, we want to love You. We want to serve You. We want to satisfy You. relationship with you that fulfills us in the deepest parts of our being, so that we can live in a society of empty people, always getting but never having enough. And we can represent a kingdom, amen, that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Let's just worship Him for just a little while. You can leave if you have to.